Hi, this is Dee Blick. Welcome to Lead Well, Live Well for UK Health Radio. Hello and a warm welcome to Lead Well, Live Well on UK Health Radio, the world's biggest talk health radio station with me, your presenter Dee Blick. Thank you so much for joining me. It's lovely to have your company. Now, in the studio today, I have a woman who positively fizzes with the most amazing energy. She's a great listener. She's a person I've turned to more than a few times over the last few months to set me straight when I go into my usual D-overload and negative thinking. She's also a highly qualified coach, a keynote speaker, and a lecturer with a brilliant backstory, which we're going to dive into. So welcome to the show, Laura Osman. Lovely to have you here.
Oh, lovely to be here, Dee. That was a gorgeous intro. Thank you. Made up to be here.
Oh, I love doing those intros. I spent a bit of time, you know, thinking about the person and the impact they've had on me. And so I'm glad that you like it. And before we dive into your coaching business, Beam Laura, and how you coach and inspire leaders to be emotionally intelligent and joyful, I want to take you back to that moment at home when you decided to do something very different for you and your family.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Easter 2016, so it's almost 10 years ago to the month when we were, Jay and I were sitting in our little kitchen one evening in Bromley, and we were just talking about how life just seemed to be passing us by. We were both working long hours. We were dropping the girls off of the childminder at 6 a.m, picking them up at 7, and we just felt like we were missing so much of their growing up by working long hours. So we were tired, and we could feel that a change was needed. And it was one of those late night kitchen conversations that starts with, "What if?" and then very quickly gets out of hand. And by the end of the night, by the end of the evening, we decided that we were going to leave England, pack up our life, and just go on an adventure with our two little girls. And within 5 months, we'd left our jobs. We bought a camper van, booked a one-way ferry ticket to France, bundled the girls in the back, and with no real plan, only to have an adventure and see what life took us, and and we were off. We were gone.
I think that is incredible. I mean, it's fantastic. I would imagine it's amazing for your kids, but that is a real spirit of adventure and faith in the universe to do something as dramatic as that. And it's the sort of thing that I would imagine quite a few families think of, but they never actually take that step. And so what a decision that you made. And what I also find fascinating is that you were, was it in your house in the mountains in Valencia? Was it Valencia? When the idea of your coaching business, Beam, came to you?
Yeah, well, after leaving England, we'd spent the year kind of travelling around France and Portugal, Spain, and somewhere along the way, we felt completely in love with Valencia. It is just the most magical place. So in the spirit of all our other slightly nuts decisions, we bought a tiny casita in the mountains next to a Spanish town. And there were very few English people. And we settled there. We had to do up the house. It was full of cockroaches and snakes and lizards. Wow. And family of wild, but we tried to grow our own food, but a family of wild boar kept ransacking all our vegetables. So it was just a brilliant way of life. But yeah, it was a really simple way of life. And I think when you get off the wheel and you give yourself time to think, you can really think, you know, what do I want for this next part of my life? What do I want this next chapter to look like? And the answer just kept coming back to me. I just love humans. They just fascinate me. And the question of how do we create an environment that brings out the very best in people? How do we help people not just survive in life, but really thrive in the environments that they're in? That was a question that just always fascinated me. And, you know, Dee, we spend 90,000, the average person spends 90,000 hours at work across a lifetime.
Wow.
And I just think we've got one life. I think those hours just need to, you know, we need to find joy in that time that we spend. And we know that people just need to feel safe and seen and valued at work. So I just thought, how can I use all my skills, all my background in teaching and theatre, my passion for psychology, all my coaching qualifications, and how do I package that into something where I can go into workplaces and really help people feel those things? I couldn't find a company that was doing it, so I thought, you know what? You want something doing, do it yourself. And I created Beam, and that's how it started.
And so you're in this house, I mean, gosh, cockroaches, and I was shuddering when you said that. I'm so glad you got rid of those. So you're in this house with Jay, your hubby. You've conceived the idea of Beam. Did you stay in that house in the mountains, or did you come back to the UK so that you could actually put down more permanent roots? Was this sort of adventure, was it coming to its close where you thought, right, we've done it now, we've loved it, we're going to move back to, I say civilization, but you were in civilization there, but move back to the UK. How did it all come together?
Well, we stayed in Spain. We lived in the house for 5 years, and that's where I was able to build Beam. So I was flying back and forth from the house to England. There was a spanner in the works where I think I was just launching the business. Beam was born, and then I found out that actually my third child was going to be born as well, because I found out that I was pregnant just as I was launching the business. And I just thought, well, let's do it. We've done crazier things than this, launch a business, you know, while having a baby. And we had no network there, we had no family around us. We were quite alone. So Jay and I just had to rely on each other. So I was flying back to England, coaching, delivering workshops, and he was left holding a brand new baby and two other children to look after. So he was at home doing the night feeds, and I was back in England coaching and training, trying to launch the business.
That is incredible. And how, just digressing off that subject of Beam, how was it for your girls? Because it must have been particularly for the ones that, not the baby won't have been aware, but for your girls, did they also see it as part of mum and dad's big adventure that they were living in Spain, then they were moving back? Did they love all of that?
Yeah, I mean, we took them from England on this adventure, and we ended up in Spain, and they didn't speak a word of Spanish. And so we put them in the local, we lived very, quite rurally. They went to the local Spanish school in the town, and they just learned to speak Spanish. Within probably about 5-6 months, they were fluent in Valencian and Spanish. I mean, that is children. They're so resilient.
Yes,
they're so adaptable. And I think it's just given them a sense of, I can be put in challenging situations, and I can adapt. I'm flexible. I've got the ability to learn. And so when we said, you know, we're coming back to England, they were just like, right, okay, next big adventure. The only problem is, when we were back in England after about 6 months, he said, so where are we going next then? I said, that this is it, girls. I think we're going to stay in England for a little while. Yeah. This is our next adventure now, being settled in England.
Do you know, we've got a minute to the break, and I want to just go back, because you mentioned something about your background in training and drama, and I didn't pick up on that. We've got a minute, so just what was that all about, your...
Well, I started out as an actress, so I'm fascinated by, you know, communication and how we engage people. So I started out as an actress and then went to become a drama teacher, and just helping people find their voice and their confidence on stage. And I did that for 17 years before I moved into the coaching world and leadership world.
I always find that fascinating with a person that... we channel all the talents and skills that we may have accrued and built from different walks of life. And it's incredible, isn't it, how relevant it is to the present day, to the situation we might find ourselves in. And I was the same I went into marketing as a career. And that was on the back of, as a little girl, I loved writing stories and mini books and little poems. And I never thought that I would use that in, you know, if I'd gone to be a writer, fair enough, but in marketing as a career. And suddenly I realised when I was in marketing, I began to carve out a great name as being a writer as well of things like direct mail and sales letters. And that all stemmed back from being a little girl. And I really love the fact that we can go back deep into our history and somewhere we can see the connection that that might not have been our intention, that you didn't want to start out wanting to be a coach when you were as an actress. I didn't want to go into marketing when I was there writing stories. And somehow we find ourselves in a career that completely complements our skills and our passions. Right, don't go away. We're going to a short break now. And after the break, I'm going to be chatting more to Laura about the training that she undertook to become a coach, if she had any lucky breaks, and if she has a coach as well. Back in a moment.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, and we've got the fabulous Laura Osman in the studio today. Now, Laura, I am fascinated in you're training to become this coach, you're flying back and forth. Before you start coaching clients, obviously you've got to have some form of experience and expertise. What sort of training did you undertake to become a coach?
Well, I completed like a higher level coaching qualification. It was basically an MA in coaching, which involves lots of supervised coaching practice. And that has enabled me to become a senior practitioner within the EMCC, which is the European Mentor. God, see if I can get this right. The European Mentoring Coaching Council. I'm also a team coach, accredited team coach with the EMCC as well. And also lucky enough to now be an associate lecturer at UEL, where I get to train other people to become coaches. Yeah. So in a way I've come full circle, because I'm kind of back in the classroom teaching other people how to coach, which is a joy. But it's quite funny, Dee, hearing you talk about when you were a little girl and you're writing your stories and how that's come back. I think a 10-year-old me just wouldn't believe that I was working at a university or I owned my own business. When I was little, I wanted to be a nun or a stunt woman or work in the circus. I never thought a girl like me who failed her 11 plus would be in the position I'm in now, working at a university, you know, owning a really successful business. So it's amazing, isn't it? You know, but then I can see the little girl who wanted to help people and bring the best out of people, and the girl who wanted to be a stunt woman and be in the circus. Yes. And for some, I can see how those things have brought me to where I am now. The magic of being in the room with people, the magic of being spontaneous and seeing what can happen. I can see how those things are linked to what I'm doing now, even in the funniest way.
But I think it's all, I loved it when you were talking about bringing joy. And now it's really interesting, because last night I went out with a friend who's a coach. I'm going to ask you the question that I asked her. And I said, what's the difference between a coach and a mentor and a counsellor, because they're three distinct roles, and it's always fascinated me. What would you say is the difference between those three? So coach, mentor, counsellor, how is a coach different?
Yeah, well, I think a counsellor, I mean, it's therapeutic in the terms of we are listening to help that person move through, and it might be quite backwards looking about what people have been through. I think a mentor and a coach, they can be similar. I think a coach can use mentoring skills, but when we think of a mentor, it's someone who is more experienced than us, someone who can pass on that knowledge. Maybe they've been in the same profession, they've been in the same area, and they can help us, guide us through, because they've been there themselves. A coach is not the expert in the room when they're sitting with you. When you are sitting with a coach, you're the expert in your life. It's the coach's job to bring out your strengths, to work out what it is you want, and to be that really brilliant thinking partner, that person who can challenge you to be the best that you can be and help you think through your next bits of decision. I coach people in the NHS, in the food industry. I am definitely not expert in them fields, but I can work in those fields because I operate as a coach and not a mentor, as a counsellor.
That is absolutely fact. And, you know, it's funny, that's what my friend said to me, and I was telling her that I was having a chat with you today. I just find it fascinating. It's like you're creating the conditions in which somebody is able to reflect on the things that you're encouraging them to reflect on.
Yeah.
I just find the whole area of personal development fascinating, and I think that coaches are so important. And I loved what you said about the distinction about being a mentor, and recently I've been asked to be a mentor for I invited her on my show, Emma Ellis, for an initiative called Mint, Marketers in Need of Therapy. And she's asked me if I will be a mentor. And I've always thought that as a mentor, I'm just there to help with my experience and expertise and to listen and offer suggestions. So that was a great explanation that's kind of clarified for me the vital role of a coach, especially in business, when we can bring so much of our angst and our insecurities and fears into business. We don't step into business and become a different person to the person that we are in our social life. And I want to ask you, did you get any lucky breaks? I'm taking you back into coaching now. When you started out, did you get any lucky breaks that were like, wow, that's really going to propel me forward?
Do you know, Dee, I find luck a funny one. I would say I got some great opportunities early on, because people who'd known me in my previous life, I contacted them and I said, hey, I'm doing this now. What are you going to give me a chance? And those people did take a chance on me because they trusted me and they knew me and they were like, I'll give you a chance. And I think when you're starting a business, those people who you know, they're your starting blocks, aren't they? Yes. And they're the people who are going to trust you. I think all your life you're planting seeds with people. You're building a brand before you even know you're building a brand. Yeah. All your life, really. Yeah. People gave me really good opportunities, and I ended up working with a global organisation, a rave bingo company, which was absolutely fascinating. Obviously schools, because people knew me from the education world. But, you know, what's that quote? They say, the harder I work, the luckier I seem to get.
Yeah, I love that one.
And I think, you know, luck will find you, but you have to get luck to notice you. You have to keep making brave moves. No one's coming to save us. No one's going to tap us on the shoulder and say, right, let's make your dreams happen today. So I think we just have to keep stepping out there, approaching people, taking chances, taking risks, and being prepared to fail and do things before you feel you're ready. So I think the braver you are, the luckier you get, the braver you are.
I completely agree with you. And it's almost a different skill set, sort of like looking for business requires real courage, real determination. You've got to bounce back when you get a no. You've got to fist pump when you get a yes. And it's not easy. And I find with so many business owners that I'm a marketer, and they are brilliant at what they do, but the getting of the business really can flummox them because they either fear rejection and so they don't go for the business because it's like, I might get a no. And I've probably in an unintentional way, I almost become a bit of a coach with them. So I'm having to say, what's standing in the way of you going for that project? What's standing in the way, for example, of you accepting that public speaking engagement? And it's that fear of failure, that fear of being judged. Yeah. And I've said it before on the show that when I'm talking to a business owner, that they can have all the marketing spangles and sparkles in the world, but if they don't believe they're deserving of success, if they don't believe they're capable of success, then it will take a long time for the penny to drop. Yeah. And often when I'm working with a business owner, that's the first thing that I have to address, because they're also dressing up fear as playing it safe. And yeah. So really at their heart, they're fearful of rejection. And so the playing it safe bit is, oh, I'm not going to do that because of X, because of Y, because of Z. And I'm there going, well, let's just look now at what we need to do to remove. And sometimes it can be training, for example, the public speaking, a bit of training, a bit of confidence boosting. But often it is that they actually need a coach to help unlock what's really going on with them. Now we've got 1 minute to the next break, and I just want to ask you if you have a coach.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm an EMCC accredited coach, and if I want to keep my accreditation as a senior practitioner, I have to have supervision, I have to have a coach myself. So I've got an amazing supervisor called Donna, and she helps make sure that my practice is ethical, that I'm making good decisions, that I'm looking after myself. I'm taking a lot on from around clients, and also I have to maintain confidentiality, so I don't have anyone else to talk to. I can't come home and talk about my day with Jay, my husband. I need that safe space to talk about what I'm going through, and she provides that supervision, and she puts the super in supervision, I'd say. My supervisor, she's an amazing wing woman. So I'm very lucky to have someone like that.
Oh, I think that's so important, isn't it? That what you said as well about confidentiality, I hadn't really appreciated that you need to have somebody that you can share and spill the beans. And now, don't go away, we're just moving to the next break. And then after the break, I'm going to be talking to Laura about how she creates happy, high-performing teams. And I'm fascinated to know, given her adventures, what's next on her list?
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee, and the wonderful Laura Osman. Now, Laura, as you know, we follow one another on LinkedIn, and I pulled this from your LinkedIn page because I want you to share more on this topic. I'm going to do it in my best reading voice now, hoping that I don't fumble over a word, which I always do. You wrote, "We need to create happy, high-performing teams and cultures. My core values are connection, joy and growth. I believe that the highest performing teams are made up of people who feel psychologically safe with each other and have each found a deep connection and joy in what they do, and that given the right environment and the right set of tools, everyone can thrive." I love that, Laura. And I want to ask you, how do you help teams and organizations to accomplish these brilliant, but I would imagine sometimes challenging goals?
Yeah, they are challenging goals. So I do it in very, anyways, it's kind of like how I do it through one-to-one coaching within organizations. They'll give me leaders and managers to coach, or they'll give me whole teams to coach, which is always absolutely fascinating, and I love that work. Or I might be developing a leadership development program for a particular organization if there's particular values or a particular culture that they want to create. But I would say what underpins all my work is helping leaders, teams and organizations develop something they call soft skills. Now, I am not a fan of the word soft skills, because soft skills like building trust, communication, empathy, listening, they are the hardest skills sometimes for people to learn. So I like to call them human skills, because they're the things that as humans we need from another human to bring up the very best in us. So that's what I do when I go into an organization. Whatever I'm doing, it is developing those human skills, the emotional intelligence, the ability to have really brave and honest conversations, to be able to give and take feedback in a way that helps each other grow. And I think, you know, in at the moment and in the climate we're in, which is full of change, and, you know, we all, you know, talked a lot about AI. I reckon there's not a conversation you haven't had where AI has probably popped up.
Yeah.
I think in this climate of remote working and AI, we are at risk of outsourcing some of these really important human skills. So I think we need to keep them live. We need to keep the focus on them. We need to keep developing them.
Yes.
Otherwise, people are not going to thrive. We're not going to continue to thrive.
No, I think that's absolutely fascinating. And I wanted to ask you, do you think, this is something that I, obviously I'm 63, and I remember when I started out that the leaders I found were absolutely awful. They were really power crazed. It was quite clear they wanted to keep me as a young woman in my place and make it clear who was the boss. And so for me, it bred a fear of a culture of fear, where I was frightened to say anything. It also meant that I was almost subservient, that I would say what I thought they wanted to hear. And I look back on me as this young woman, being as a graduate trainee, going into all different departments. And there was only one leader. And I remember he actually said to me, "What you think, Dee, is just as important as what I think. We've all got a valuable role to play." And it was almost like he was my empathetic saviour. And I want to ask you, as a coach, are you seeing a new breed of leaders? So we're moving away from this didactic authoritarian image into a much more inclusive and democratic way of being and working.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the old command and control style of leadership just won't cut it. It just won't cut it anymore. I've worked with teams in the NHS, education, like I say, local councils. Across every industry, the human needs are the same. People need to feel that sense of belonging, that sense that their voice is important, that they are valued, that they are being heard. You know, during COVID, I worked with a global organisation who were supporting their teams through this huge change, this thing that was happening that we just weren't prepared for. And they said, you know, "Laura, you're working with teams. Find out what they need, Laura. Do they need new desks? Do they need new monitors? Because they're all now working from home." And they said, "No." And they said, "What do our teams need?" And I said, "Do you know what they're asking for? They're asking for empathy. They don't want new desks. They don't need comfy chairs. They need empathy, they need compassion, they need understanding about what they're going through as human beings with their families at the moment, at this time in their lives." And unfortunately for that company, you can't order empathy from Amazon. You can't send that to your employees. You need leaders who have got those human skills at the ready. And we are in a really volatile, changing, just uncertain world. We need leaders who can adapt and be there for the humans during those really hard times. So the leaders that are winning are the ones that can create cultures where people feel seen, heard and valued. You know, Gen Z get a bad rep, don't they? They say, "Oh, they're lazy or they're entitled." They're absolutely not. They're asking for workplaces, just like you experienced when you were young. They're asking to feel safe to speak up. They're asking, "Does my work matter? Do you see me as a human?" And they're right to ask for those things. We've seen the damage. All those cultures that see all sane out cultures, they're dangerous. So, and we can see the impact they can have. So they're ready for something different. I'm ready for something different. And that's why I do what I do.
I find that absolutely, I mean, it warms my heart. And when you were sharing that, it took me back to, I remember being, I think I was 22, and we had to do a presentation in front of the directors. It was a big insurance company. And one of the directors was quite a flamboyant character, but quite stern. And I had major anxiety, and I've shared before on the show that I've had anxiety in various forms throughout my life, but it was really peaking that I'd moved down from the north of England down south, feeling quite vulnerable. And we did a presentation in front of all of the directors, absolutely nerve-wracking. It was, what had we learnt in our first 6 months? I'll never forget that the director, well, it was Peter. I'll never forget that Peter actually started out by saying in front of the whole room, "Do you realise, Dee, when you're presenting that you flick your hair back a lot and you put it behind your ear?" And honestly, I truly wanted the ground to swallow me up. And I really believe that those imprints they leave on your soul are often much greater than the praise, because after that, I was paranoid about flicking my hair back. And I can remember one leader in the same company, he actually said to me, "I don't rate women in the workplace." That was the first thing. I was there on a graduate trainee secondment. And the fact that I'm even sharing it with you now shows the imprint that that massive negativity, and I think there's a bit of misogyny going on there as well. And so when I hear you talking about that and about the company asking, do we need desks? No, we need empathy. We need understanding. I know now as a mature woman how absolutely crucial that is. If people are to feel that their voice is heard and that they can share when it's good, I also think that great leaders breed the most innovative teams, because people aren't afraid to share things that might not work out as part of the process of the genius of creative collaboration. They know that this is great. I can share what's going on. I can put forward my ideas. And even if the organization doesn't take them on, it doesn't matter, because it's this breeding ground of wonderfulness that we are sharing. So I really love, and I'm really inspired that you've said that. And it's just great that we've got coaches like you that are going out there and actually spreading that message. Because although I'm sure a lot of organisations buy into that, I think some of them are just a bit tone deaf. They don't understand still. And they need somebody like you, a pocket rocket, going in there with all your expertise, your experience, and saying, stop, let's not focus on desks or monitors or water coolers and all the rest of it, important though they are. Let's address the fundamental issue, which is how you get the very best out of your people. So what I want to ask you, Laura, before we move into the final bit where you share your inspirational quote and you ask me your question, is what does the future hold for you? More European adventures in a camper van or something closer to home?
What does the future hold? Who knows? Well, I suppose we're really happy. I mean, we're happy in West Sussex. We've built our life here now. I don't think we'll be selling everything and disappearing across Europe again anytime soon. But we do still love a mini adventure in Marv, our little camper van. So we've got three gorgeous girls now. We still have our mini adventures. And to be honest, you know, when you have got three kids, watching them grow and navigating life with them really is our big our next big life adventure. Yeah. You know, every day's an adventure with kids, but that really is our big adventure. Professionally, I just want to keep doing more of this work with more people, more organisations. It does bring me joy. I can see the impact that it can have on individuals, on teams, and on the culture of an organisation. So I just want to work with as many people as I can, helping them feel joy in the work that they do every day. And if I can keep doing that, I'll be happy till the day I die, Dee, because I absolutely flipping love what I do. I love it.
I think that comes across loud and clear. And the word joy is so important to me. And I was talking to, I think it was Kate, who I interviewed a few days earlier, and she was saying about that a measure of her success in work, one of the measures is fun. And I think joy and fun are often closely interlinked. And the fact that you're focusing on joy, which is not a soft skill, it's like a human craving. Mm-hmm. We want to feel joy and accomplishment in what we do, don't we? So I love that. And that's one of the words that I will take from today's interview with you, is that wonderful word, joy. Now, we're at the stage in the show now where you're going to share your inspirational quote and you're going to ask me your question. And I haven't got a clue what that question is. I always say that because I think that one day I'll be asked a question and I'll fall flat on my face and not know what to say. But that's OK. I'll probably bounce it back. So share your inspirational quote with me and then your question.
Well, I think it's one of those quotes. I mean, I could have chosen so many different ones, but I went with one. I think we attribute it to Brené Brown. Do you know Brené Brown, Deeble? Do
no.
you know? No. Right. Well, she's brilliant. She's a thought leader in terms of around leadership. And she says, which I firmly believe, You can choose courage or you can choose comfort, but you can't have both at the same time.
Wow.
And I love it because I think it's such a simple truth about growth. Everything meaningful in life just lives just outside our comfort zone. Whether it's starting a business like what we've spoken about, speaking up in an organisation for yourself, trying something new, backing yourself, you know, it's not always comfortable. It's hard. And comfort keeps us safe. And sometimes we want to feel safe and we need to feel safe. But courage is what moves our lives forward. And the beautiful thing is, I think, about courage, it's not about being fearless. I think courage is fear walking.
Mm.
It's about choosing to step forward with that fear, but knowing you're going to grow from this. You're going to grow and backing yourself in that moment. So courage over comfort. And that's what I've always held on to.
Yeah, I love that because I think I will certainly carry that one with me, because at the moment in particular, I'm entering into so many different streams where I'm having to embrace courage because it's not comfort, because I'm doing stuff that's new. I'm saying yes to things. I had my TEDx talk confirmed the other day and I thought, oh, I've not heard from them for a while, so it's not going ahead. And part of me thought, oh, that's a bit of a relief. And then it was confirmed the other day. Yep, it's all stations go, we'd like to meet. And I'm just thinking, wow. And you're right. I'm feeling that frisson of nerves, but it's courage, isn't it? Why would I feel, oh, well, I'm doing a TEDx talk, what the heck? Yeah. I do feel that frisson of, oh, what am I doing? But I love that quote, Laura. And I want to ask you now, what is your question for me?
So, well, I think it leads on quite nicely. I've spoken about that courage over comfort. So I suppose it's asking you, where have you in your life really had to show real courage over comfort when you've been really uncomfortable but thought, I've got to be courageous here because this is gonna move me forward to where I need to be?
Wow, that's profound. And in my little Sputnik head, there are all manner of neurons that are firing off. I think the big thing for me was giving up drinking, where I had to actually look at myself and think, you can't carry on living like this, drinking it as an addict. You just can't do it. So you need to move from this space. And I was terrified, absolutely terrified. And looking back, it took a huge amount of courage to move up from a position that I'd got myself into a completely new sphere and not know, would I still be able to live with my anxiety? How would I function without being able to use drink as a comfort blanket? You know, how would I manage at parties? How would I manage if I had a terrible day in my business and I couldn't come home and blot it out with alcohol? So that was quite a big thing. I would say that's probably the biggest thing for me, but I would also say that at the minute, I've got about 3 or 4 different projects, and every one of them is kind of a new project for me. Even though I'm drawing on my existing skills, it's new. And so I feel that frisson of, can I do it? Excuse me. And the answer is, of course you can. So I'm having to almost coach myself at the moment and lean on great people like you, Laura, as my lovely listeners will discover in a moment. Yeah, my whole life at the moment is all about stepping out of my comfort zone and doing things like I'm producing a magazine, I've got this TED Talk, I'm about to be an ambassador for a national brand, and I'm thinking, excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat, I'm thinking, gosh, can I do it? And I think, of course you can do it, of course you can do it. So thank you for asking that question. And I want to just now, because I'm just very conscious of the time, I could chat to you all day long, that usually at this time of the show, I thank you, Laura, and I share a few extra words with you. But today I'm making a small change because I want to really share with my lovely listeners some advice that you gave me recently. I think I'd messaged you on LinkedIn and I was panicking again about a new project. Could I do it? Was I good enough? I was having my usual outbreak of classic imposter syndrome. And this is what you wrote back to me. You said, Compassion and support for ourselves during these parts will get us through. Remember, everything you hold dear, all the things that are most important to you are safe. Nothing is at risk when you step out there into the ring. You have absolutely nothing to lose or prove, just all to enjoy. A year from now, you will have grown again. Enjoy this learning process and celebrate. You now have another incredible opportunity to grow and inspire more people. You're off the starting blocks now, and you have crowds of people who love and respect you, cheering you on. Back yourself. Now, you probably didn't realise that when you shared that with me, that I would be sharing it with my listeners on UK Health Radio. But it had such a profound effect on me, Laura, that you saying that. And I just wanted to thank you for, I want to thank you for sharing that and to thank you for being with me today on the show. Have you enjoyed it?
Oh, it's been absolutely brilliant. Absolutely. Loved every minute of it, and I'm just really glad that that message did help you. I think in those moments we do need to just love ourselves so fiercely. You know, it's a radical act these days, but you know, it is one of the most important things that we can do.
Yeah, it is. So I want to thank you for joining me today, and I'm sure that I will be having you back on this show at some point in the future. But that's a huge thanks to you, Laura.
Thanks, Dee. Thanks so much for having me on. I've loved every minute.
It's been an absolute pleasure. So, my lovely people, I want you to, well, really reflecting on this interview, what can you take from Laura's brilliant advice? Are you surrounding yourself with crowds of people that love you and that are cheering you on? Are you backing yourself big time? I really hope that you are, that you've stepped onto that road and you're full of that confidence that you are deserving of good things, that good things absolutely are there for you. And that if you're experiencing fear, that on the other side of that door of fear is growth, it's opportunity, it's all manner of sparkles and spangles just waiting for you. Thank you for joining me today. It's been lovely having your company, and I will be back very soon. In the meantime, you can contact me on Facebook or LinkedIn. Tell me what you think about the show, how some of the incredible words of the guests that come on here every week are helping you in your everyday life. So until next week, that's me, Dee Blick, signing off. You've been listening to Lead Well, Live Well on UK Health Radio.